Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's program. We're thrilled that you've joined us. We are here every day to help you live out the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. Well, I'm Dr. Greg Smalley, joined as always by author and speaker Susie Larson.
Well, you know, you meet two friends and you hit it off almost instantly. Maybe it was even love at first sight. In a whirlwind of romance and cow-eyed rapture, you set a date, you get married in what seems like no time. Well, a few months down the line, you realize it actually was no time. Hasty marriages, you know what? Most don't work, but some of them do, but rarely without a considerable measure of heartache through the first few years of the getting-to-know-you process. Well, stay tuned as we talk about the realities of life following these fairy tale romances. You know, first of all, Greg, we hear about the whirlwind romances and hasty marriages, not just in young people in their 20s who might have little experience in relationships, but also those in their 30s and up. So here's the question for the day. Why do people rush into these relationships, making them legal and binding so quickly?
Yeah, great question. You know, thinking about this topic of hasty marriages, Susie, it takes me back to one of my most favorite stories. I'm sure I've shared this before, but we can't talk about this without letting me tell you what happened when my oldest daughter, Taylor, when she was 5, first day of kindergarten, I was to greet her as she came home off the bus. And so I'm standing there, you know, in the afternoon, all by myself. Erin was working, so she couldn't be there, which is never the good idea. So I need pretty much constant supervision.
I feel a story coming on.
And so as I saw the bus pull up, you know, just excited to greet Taylor and hear about her first day. And as she got off the bus, I was blown away what I saw. I was shocked because as she got off the bus, I found her holding hands with a boy, not just like, you know, like the friendship hold, you
right.
know,
side
this was
side.
Like interlaced fingers.
Okey-dokey.
No, seeing that was just, it was wrong on every level. And I didn't know what to make of this. And so she's walking up with this guy and they're still holding hands. I'm not sure what to
That's
say.
That's commitment, and Greg. That's it, real commitment.
Yeah. She yells out, "Dad," she goes, "Hi." She goes, "This is Hank. We're in love and we're going to get married."
That's a
talk about hasty marriages. I mean, I'm looking at my watch ticket. You've been gone for 8 hours. What is going on at the school? You know, you're getting homeschooled starting tomorrow. And yet it was the cutest little thing. I mean, here are these little 5-year-old, both blonde hair, blue eyes, just staring at each other, looking at me, you know.
And so, of course, you had to play along, right?
Well, you have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, you know. Come on. Mm-hmm. How many times is this going to happen? So, you know, I asked him, I said to them, so, you know, where will you guys live? And so they kind of looked at each other and they just sort of huddled right up. And Taylor says, well, if it's okay with you and Mom, we'd like to live in the backyard, like in those little Tyke's house, you know, the little plastic thing. And so I said, sure. And I said, but Hank, I said, in that, you know, being 5 and all, in that you'll have to take care of my daughter. I said, you know, you're living in this plastic house. I said, you'll need some stuff. I said, what kind of stuff will you need? And I'll never forget. This is the best part. It was the funniest thing ever. They huddled up again, in which sort
well,
of was...
they're modeling some good stuff.
They were, which was disturbing to watch your 5-year-old daughter and her fiancé problem solve better than you and your wife do. But when they came back together, he was classic. So old Hank stepped up and he said, well, we talked about it. We need 3 things. I went, okay, sure. What 3? That sounds great. He goes, well, we need the TV and the remote. He goes, we need a box of Lucky Charms and a roll of toilet paper. That was it.
You know what, Greg? He's an old
man.
Soul.
An he old is.
Guy's body.
Yeah. Now, as a guy, that actually
makes sense.
Made total sense because I could live weeks off of those 3 things alone. But so that was my – so anytime I think about the concept of hasty marriage, I
well,
think about –
well, don't leave us hanging here. Did she get married?
So I think it was about 3 weeks into the whole thing. She came home from school one day and, you know, very sad, crying. And Hank had broken up with her. I guess Becky, someone, was better looking.
Their ball.
And so they've never found him since then. But I had nothing to do with that. So it ended, and she's now 19. Mm. And actually, you know what was really cool? Here's the truth. She led that boy to the Lord.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of cool?
That's very
so
cool.
I've always thought, well, who knows? Maybe they'll reconnect someday. But I can, because, hey, if that's all they need from me is a box of Lucky Charms and a roll of toilet paper and a TV, That's not a bad deal.
Well, you know, Greg, I've heard that story, and I know it ends with something that I think we could learn from today about hasty marriages, because she came home and she wanted him dead after a few weeks, right? Well, and seriously, though, because he broke her heart, right?
Yeah.
And it was off again that quickly. And sometimes I think in this hasty marriage process, we forget, that when there's a massive high right away, it's going to be followed by a massive low.
Yeah. You know, and I think when we think about these hasty marriages, it's probably good to make a good distinction between maybe that young first-time married couple. You know, so maybe coming out of high school or even when in their 20s versus a remarriage situation. So a couple who've already been married, maybe lost their spouse to death or to divorce, because I think those are two very, very different things. And so I think that people, let's think about the first time marriages. You know, why do they, you know, run into that relationship so quick? Maybe they get swept up, you know, in the emotions of the moment. They get swept up and heads are spinning. It's so exhilarating. And, you know, maybe they're on the little on the impulsive side anyway. So maybe that's some of what's going on. We all know there are people who are literally obsessed with the idea of getting married. And my brother.
Of the wedding even, you know.
Sure, the fantasy wedding. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we there are people who, you know, there are girls who've dreamed of that wedding their mm-hmm. entire life. You know, they're actually my brother. If he called in, he would tell you that from the time he was little, he wanted to be married.
Wow, really?
And that was just, yeah, for him, that was one of the things that he really wanted to do. And, you know, maybe growing up in the way we did, you know, watching my parents or being part of marriage ministry, I don't know. But he was obsessed with getting married, and he would tell you part of his story and the struggles that he and his wife Amy, who they've been married now for many, many years, and they had but they had a hard journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of some of that.
Well, you know, God puts desires in our hearts, but if we let them morph into an unhealthy obsession or I gotta have that, you sure can see where you could be easily deceived or maybe not have the wisdom that you need to make a wise choice. I think it's probably good to push the brakes on to go, why do I have to have that wedding day so badly? Why do I have to have that spouse? I think to ask some questions and dig a little deeper just to make sure that there's a healthy desire and not kind of an obsessive desire. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think it underscores a principle that, as you've heard the show before, hopefully you've heard us say this over and over and over and over again, and that's the idea of self-awareness. Yeah, I just think it's so important that I was just in a job interview and interviewing for an assistant, and you know, just being able to say, hey, you know, tell me what are your strengths and your weaknesses, and if someone's not aware of those things, it's concerning to me.
Exactly.
I mean, I can tell you, there's things that I do really well, and I can tell you that I'm terrible at certain things. Like Susie, you were an MC for one of the events that we just did. Because you're amazing as an MC, you just the way you do that. I'm horrible at that. And I'm not demeaning myself. I'm just saying that is not a part of my wheelhouse. And I do lots of other things very well,
that's
and I'm comfortable
say.
With that.
And isn't that freeing? Because then you get set up in your sweet spot and you go and you're doing exactly what God designed
that's
you
right.
to do. I think that's a beautiful thing when we're aware of our strengths and weaknesses. But you miss that if you're running headlong and being swept up in the wave of romance and emotion, don't you?
You really do. And that's, you know, there's a good friend of ours, Dr. David Olson, who developed, probably the best marriage assessment on the market. It's called the Couple Checkup. And what's cool about this is that he's got several variations of this, one of them being a dating version, a engaged version, as well as a marriage. And so I tell you what, I just think, throughout the show, we'll mention the fact that you could go on to focusonthefamily.com. You can find that assessment. And even if you're just dating, boy, it can reveal some really important things about your relationships, the strengths as well as the weaknesses. And it's good just to be aware of those things, because you can take a look at the strengths and go, let's keep doing more of those. Take a look at the weaknesses. Where are some of our growth areas, and how do we deal with those things now versus the problem is, and we'll talk about this later, but when people rush head, you know, into this relationship very quick in a hasty marriage, The problem is they go through so much change. They get so busy that if you don't deal with some of this stuff beforehand, it's just very, very hard to deal with that stuff once you're married and trying to do life together.
And it all catches up with you. What I hear you really saying, Greg, is you got to think long term. You have to think long term. And I think one of the reasons behind young people getting hastily married is they're swept up in the fun, exciting romance of the moment, and they want to have that as a memory. But they're trading something long term, aren't they?
They are. And there's some other stuff going on, and we need to get into this because there's some other reasons we really need to pay attention to.
And did you know this? Everybody has a dark side. We're going to unpack that as well and why that's so important. We all have a fallen nature that needs to be redeemed. We're going to talk about why it's so important to prepare yourself in the right way for marriage. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking about hasty marriages, why they happen, and if you've gotten into one, how do you navigate through it so you're still standing when it's all said and done? We'll be right back. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson here with Dr. Greg Smalley. We're talking today about whirlwind romances and hasty marriages. And Greg, before the break, you were talking about there's some kind of distinct differences on the why behind a hasty marriage for young people versus older people who maybe have been married, now they're divorced or they're widowed. Say more about that.
Yeah, so again, thinking about that younger person, maybe never married before, you know, I think that, you know, for some, you'll see they're tired of being single. They're, maybe it's a pregnancy issue. Maybe they're wanting to get away from their family. You know, maybe they're caught up in the notion of the one, you know, my soulmate, and I've definitely feel it here. That's the one, boy, that's the one that God's had for me. Let's just do it. Why wait? I mean, if you're the one. And so I think you see some of that. A lot of times you can see pressure from family. As a matter of fact, you know, Susie, we've talked about my story before with Aaron. There came a point in time that my family, everybody loved Aaron from the get-go. And so the moment that I started to date her, she was very good. She was best friends with my sister for years before I even dated her. Worked for my mom for years before I ever dated her. Called my mom. Before we were even dating.
Wow.
So the moment I started showing interest, they're like, what are we waiting for?
Uh-huh.
And we could literally this weekend have a wedding. And and so I took Aaron out and I tried to put the brakes on. I was trying to say that I just wanted to be careful and I need to date you for me and not because everybody else in the world seems to love you.
Hmm.
And
Good point, but I have to ask, did you use brakes anywhere in the sentence?
I might have used that as an analogy, which in hindsight may not have been the best. She thought we broke up. We were at Marie Callender's. We were eating pie. And I don't know how we went from eating pie to her thinking that we broke up.
Mm.
But she started dating other people. I'm like, what is going on here? I just said, slow down. I just, you know, take the foot off the pedal a little bit.
Yeah.
Take it from 90, maybe 55. That's like legal. You know, I don't know what happened.
Saying,
but anyway.
Pedal and brakes.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So I think there can be pressure.
Yeah.
Susie, what you said in the first segment, though, I thought was so good that if we're feeling this pressure to move this relationship forward very, very quickly, it's good discipline just to begin to go, be curious.
Yeah.
Wonder what that's about. What's going on? Is there some of this other stuff maybe, you know, pushing this relationship down? That's good to know.
It is. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. I pray you remember this, that you can be 100% sure and be 100% wrong. And I think that is just so important because we go by our feelings sometimes where you could say, I would die on this truth or on this decision right now and still be so, so wrong. And I'll just give you a quick example that doesn't have to do with hasty marriage, but when I had my hysterectomy in my 20s because of endometriosis, I had no choice, right? And we'd already had three kids at great cost. I mean, many months on bed rest, high risk, scary. It was so hard, those three pregnancies. And it cost us a ton of money just because of the in and out stopping labor. When it was finally time for that surgery, I'm like, go up for a pass. I'll throw you this uterus. You know, I don't need it anymore. I mean, just to be
there's
told.
An image. Duck!
So sorry. Anyway, I was 500% sure, Greg, I didn't want any more kids because it was so hard. And I was battling sickness and all that. 500% sure we're done. Three's enough. Several years later, I was still now in my 30s. I went through the grieving period. I had no choice. I had to have the hysterectomy But I was wrong. I mean, if I had a choice, I would have more kids, biologically speaking. So, you know, and I've run into women who are now my age who said, I was 100% sure this was the guy based on what I was feeling and thinking and praying. I was 100% wrong. And so I just feel like, what is the harm in slowing things down and asking some questions?
I don't think there ever is.
Yeah.
And you know, and then, and so with that concept, I mean, think about, so maybe the person who lost a spouse to death or divorce and who's now looking at a remarried situation. I mean, we've all heard the stories of just jumping right back in. And so I think, you know, there's, so if you've seen a hasty marriage, maybe a hasty remarriage, you know, I think for them, maybe a little bit differently, you know, if there's kids involved, and usually there is, but not always, but a lot of times there is, you know, boy, just the guilt and knowing how hard it is to raise a child on your own. And I just have so much respect for single moms, and my heart goes out to them, because I just, like, I don't see how you do it.
Yeah, right.
You do it so well, and wow. And it's amazing, and don't get me off on that, because, some of our greatest heroes in life are those single moms. But, you know, the guilt and going, I need help, and my kids need a, you know, a dad or a mom, and that can be a huge pressure.
And the illusion that doing it with anybody else is better than doing it alone. You know,
right.
Anybody will do, I just need somebody there. And so I would think the temptation would be to settle for maybe the wrong person, because you just want the help. You know?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I tell you what, and you see a very different type of family pressure for those who have been divorced and or lost a spouse and you know, family. I don't want you to be alone, and you deserve better, and you were hurt in this relationship, and you know, so you know, and for some, it's the, you know, I definitely, like you were saying, 100%. You know, was thought I was making the right decision, but I realized 100% wrong. And oh, now I've met my soulmate, and you know, now we're gonna get it right.
And you got all kinds of baggage, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've met people, men who've been widowed after being married a long time, and jumped within that next year into a new marriage because they were, and they would say, I was used to being cared for. I need someone to make my meals. I want a companion, and you sure understand that.
Makes sense.
But in those situations, really, the grief kind of came back up in a second wave. They were comparing their new wife to their old wife, and that new wife had no chance to live up to the one who'd passed. And so what about that, where they feel a desperate need to not be alone anymore? What kind of time do you think they need?
You know, as you look at the research, okay, so the research for let's think about that first time, never been married, kind of that, you know, in the 20s, somewhere in there. What the research says, it's about 2 years dating, engaged to be married. So you meet this person about 2 years. Does that mean that's true for everybody? No, I think that it has so much more to do with those two people and sort of where they're at and what's going on. So, I mean, and again, we can talk about that in greater detail, but, you know, for you know, my father-in-law, you know, we lost my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, you know, about 7 years ago, and to your point, I mean, you could just see that just the loneliness, and you know, and he was in his late 60s, and just you know, the very different reasons why you want to get married. It's just interesting to me with your 20s, you know, your perspective is one way, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. You know, for him, it was all about companionship. I just don't want to be alone. But I don't think it matters. I think the point is to do what you said, which is we've got to take time to really understand what is motivating me, what's the real drivers, what's going on for me. And if it's loneliness is the issue, you know what? That's something first and foremost we need to work out between us and the Lord. I mean, that would be worth exploring. And God said that even in Eden, you know, it's not good for a man to be alone. So, I mean, that's not that that's illegitimate. It's just, boy, you just don't want to run into a relationship. If there's some baggage kind of stuff that you need to deal with beforehand.
You know, we put more time into buying a house, buying a car, accepting a job, than we do at times to really getting ready to be married and to be married to the person that's well-suited for us. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. When we come back, we'll talk about the things that you don't know when you get involved too quickly in a relationship. There's things you need to learn, things you don't know. How do you navigate that if you've already made the choice? We'll talk about that next, too. Don't go away. We'll be right back. so much for tuning in today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking about whirlwind romances and hasty marriages. What do you do if you make a choice and you get into it too quickly? Or maybe you're considering taking the leap and you don't know your mate that well. What do you do? So, Greg, you talk about the importance of taking the time to get to know each other. And the thing that we miss if we jump in too quickly is those downsides of our personalities. And I've heard it again and again and again. I saw their best face. We had the most fun. Everything we did was romantic. But you got to put them, yeah. You got to see them in a scenario where there's conflict, where there's pressure, and see what they're made of, right?
Yeah, oh, totally. I mean, it makes me think about, you know, I won't tell the whole story, but the essence was, you know, I knew I wanted to marry Erin when she pulled this terrible practical joke in class, and I didn't know her, and I fell asleep, and she woke me up in the middle of class and told me to stand up and pray. She said, the professor called on you to pray. And why would someone who you didn't know, why would a stranger make this up? It's impossible. So I stood up in the back of this
wife.
Big class and prayed out loud, and people laughed, and I was mortified. But at the same time, I thought, my goodness. Anybody who's willing to do that to a stranger, my goodness, would we have fun or what? And that was my whole view of Erin. And so what if I had used that to sort of, you know, propel us into this hasty relationship and hasty marriage? And, you know, it's what you said, that the part of the downside is you don't really get time to fully know that person. Susie, Erin and I wrote a book called Before You Plan Your Wedding, Plan Your Marriage. And we also wrote one for remarried couples called The Heart of Remarriage. And in that, what we did is we surveyed a bunch of couples, probably seriously about 2,000 married couples, and asked them and said, hey, if you're going to give one piece of advice to someone who hasn't been married, or who's engaged, what would you tell them to really have the best engagement possible? And we analyzed all this. I was stunned. You know what emerged as the biggie? Spend time together getting to know one another. And so we really then started to drill down, well, okay, what does that mean? And I think what we found is that whirlwind dating and spending time and asking all the questions, and we do all that, when it moves into that engagement time, people get very focused on other things. They get focused on then building this wedding and all the details that go into that, and they just get very preoccupied. They stop really asking the questions. And the problem is, once you get married, the biggest drop in marriage satisfaction happens during that first year of marriage, because that all these expectations that were built up, just the vast amount of change that takes place when you go to live in and move in with someone and do life together now, just all those changes just creates not just busyness, but it can create a lot of conflict. That what we found is that the couples that really spent significant amount of time asking questions, not like, you know, what's your favorite color? You know, if I was to get you an ice cream cone, what would be your very best? I could, you
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
but where you really dig into understanding, what was it like growing up? What was your family of origin like? You know, what
and
was
how do you handle
like?
Stress? What does it look like when you're under stress? You
I
know?
Handle it horribly.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Oh,
I see.
No.
I thought you were asking me. I thought, well, that's kind of an awkward shift, but okay, fine. You know, I'm just teasing. I knew what you were asking. But yeah, how do you handle stress? I tell you the biggest one, though, biggest one, is how will you handle my heart when we disagree?
Mm-hmm.
Will you clamp down?
Mm-hmm.
Will you bully me, manipulate me into a decision? Will you take the time to say, you know what? Both of us need to matter in this marriage. So although I think differently and view that differently and think we need to go in a different direction, help me understand your perspective. You know, how will they listen? You know, I mean, they're, I tell you what, and if you're running too quickly into that relationship, you're just, you know, more than, I mean, odds are, if it's a hasty relationship, you're probably not going to encounter a lot of conflict. If you did, that would probably be a major red flag. Because usually those who walk into this hasty relationship, everything's just so perfect.
Right.
Their best foot has been placed forward, just everything.
Yeah.
It's just, but one of the best things that we can do is argue. and fight and disagree before we get married, just because it's learning. How are we going to handle this? What patterns do we need to set up and establish?
And it takes time to see your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance's, whatever, selfish bent. You have a selfish bent. They have a selfish bent. What does it look like when selfishness emerges out of you?
Right.
But when you're in a whirlwind romance, you're not selfish. You're sacrificing your whole life. That cannot be sustained. It's lovely. So, boy, all the more reason, right, to push,
seriously,
hit the brakes and take some time. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. When we come back, we're going to talk about just some ways that you can navigate relationship if you have made that hasty decision. How do you deal with conflict? How do you think long-term if you're married now to someone you got married to too quickly? We'll be right back. Hey, check out our Facebook. It's Everyday Relationships Radio. When you're there, click the like button. We'd love that. And if you want to email us, it's everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We'll be right back. Well, we hope you're having a fabulous day. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We've been having a very engaging discussion about hasty marriages. No pun intended there. And you know, Greg, we were talking about people who maybe get caught up in the whirlwind. They barely know each other, and then they get caught up in it all and get married so quickly they don't have enough information about the person they're marrying. But there's another, I think, kind of a misnomer where you can know somebody for a really long time as a friend and still have a hasty marriage, because like you and Erin, you know, you're friends, she's family, practically a family member, but when you change the status to dating, that's a whole different relationship, isn't it?
Oh, completely. That was our story. And so I was good friends with Erin. She was good friends with my sister, my mom, and for years. And then when I started dating her, very quickly, you know, in my mind, I mean, I knew her and I did. And so once we really started dating, you know, we were 23-ish, and I mean, I knew. I mean, as soon as, you know, I was like, this is who I'm going to marry, obviously. And so, you know, maybe 4 months later, I asked her to marry me, and knew, you know what I gave her for an engagement present? Besides a ring?
What?
I left.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Moved away.
Oh.
Left her in Phoenix, and I went to Denver Seminary, which I didn't think was a big deal. Tell you what, that was the worst mistake that I did. If I could, there's, you know, we all have things
that
we wish we could change and do over again and would do that differently. I would absolutely do that differently. Because to your point, once Erin and I were engaged, the whole relationship shifted. And there were things that we really needed to work on. The problem was we didn't do any good premarital counseling. Because I was, you know, so every time that we saw each other, maybe 4 times over that period, it was all reunion. And everything was beautiful and wonderful. And, man, we're getting married. And this is awesome. You're the best. And then when we got married, remember I say the story that it was, you know, quickly we got into conflict. We didn't know how to manage it. We didn't ever have to. And because we weren't together to fight. And that really almost cost us. About 2 years into my marriage, I thought we were one more argument away from her leaving. And so that I would do that differently. And I think that, so what could I have done differently? We talked about, you know, getting to know each other, asking those questions, those hard questions, observing how does that person handle stress and conflict and their work ethic and what does their spiritual relationship actually literally look like? And I think that's an important part because, see, some of the pitfalls of that hasty marriage, you don't learn how to deal with conflict. And that is that, like Erin and I, that is a huge problem. You know, maybe you're marrying this person for the wrong reasons. We laid some of those out in the beginning of the program. I think you can miss major red flags. You know, you mentioned earlier, Susie, sort of this, you know, this you can miss the dark side. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that it's like, oh, there's something wrong with this person. It's dark in the sense that there's just not
a whole... You don't know.
You just don't know. It's like the room is darkened. You got to... questions and observing them, turn lights on, lamps here and there, and sconces over there. You didn't even know I knew the word sconce, did
well,
you?
I was surprised when you knew loofah, so you keep going.
You didn't have
show.
To share that part, but fine. You know, so there might be personal issues, there might be personality disorders, there might be hidden sin, pornography or alcohol, gambling, or, you know, just that you miss these secret sins that will come out. And that's why I tell you what, the greatest gift that you can ever give yourself in your marriage is premarital counseling.
Yeah.
We know that the difference is this. If couples who get between 6 and 8 hours of quality premarital counseling, 80% of those couples end up staying together.
Wow.
Man, if we're looking for the bullets, you know, to mm-hmm. fight against divorce, mm-hmm. that's one of them.
Yep. That's so, so good. So, okay, let's shift now because somebody's listening today going, well, I was hastily married. I want to leave because this is a major mistake. What do you say to them?
Don't do that. You made the choice. Okay. You made that decision. You stood before God. You stood before your family, your friends, this, your spouse, and made that commitment. You know what? Marriage is awesome. It's wonderful. It's hard. It takes work. It's all of that. Okay. So what? You know what? I would say to someone that outside of abuse, so if you were being physically abused, okay, this would be a whole different discussion. You need to call our counselor right now. Call 800-A-FAMILY right now if that's going on. Outside of that, you made this decision. God expects us to honor those commitments and those decisions. And so what? So it's going to take you a little bit more work. It took Aaron and I mean, about 3 years of what felt like relational hell.
And look at you now. Yes, you can. But, you know, the thing is, the treasure that you have from persevering is far and away above and beyond what a person would have if they would have left, tried to find another person, because their baggage now is quantified. And I don't think people understand that. It's not going to be better with someone else because you're still there, you know?
And wherever you go,
there you are.
Yeah. And I think, Susie, any time that we're hurting, I don't care what the reason is, that's why we have counselors. That's okay. I do this. Aaron and I, we've done this. You get a mentor couple, you get a support system, you get people around who are going to cheer you on and root you on and help you and motivate you, a more experienced couple who will show you the ropes. You go in and get help. You do whatever it takes. We don't have to end these relationships. We just don't. And there's too much good information out there. So, but I, you know, if you came to see me, what I would begin to help you is let's just go back. Let's learn some of the things that you needed to have learned. Dealing with conflict is the biggie for me. Okay. Cause when conflict and all that stuff sets in, people get discouraged and they start to lose hope and their hearts close and it's hard to see beyond that. But you know what? You can rebuild any of that. Can be rebuilt. You can learn these skills. As a matter of fact, one of the big things that we're working on at Focus this year within our marriage is we know there are 12 key traits that if you are doing these 12, if these 12 are part of your active relationship, you're going to have a thriving marriage. And so for that couple, maybe, okay, so they hastily went into the relationship. Okay, they made that decision. All right, so let's get some help. And you learn these things, and that's why that mentor, a counselor, that support group, they can help infuse these things into your relationship, and you can do it. And to your point, Susie, that now I look back, and I wouldn't trade any of that. And I'm so glad Aaron and I got to grow up and mature and grow through all that. God's used that, and I love my marriage, and you can do this too.
Yeah. See, that's hope. And if you're not married yet, we've got a fabulous ministry here at Focus on the Family. It's called Boundless, and it exists to help you prepare for marriage. So check it out at boundless.org. Thanks so much for tuning in today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Up next, we're going to talk about the key elements necessary for walking into marriage prepared. That's the wrap in just a moment. So don't go away, and don't forget to email us with your thoughts, comments, and ideas. That's everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We'll be right back. Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We've really had an amazing discussion today about whirlwind romances and hasty marriages. And if you've just tuned in, be sure to catch the podcast. You'll find it at our website, everydayrelationships.com. Greg, you made such an important point before the break, and really the same is true for Kevin and I. There was a time in our marriage where I would say we flatlined. I looked at him and felt nothing but really contempt because it was such a painful, hard time. But coming through that other side, the treasure that I have in him is, I can't even put a number, a name for it. You know what I'm saying? And I really know this to be true, that marriage to the person you're married to is your best case scenario. And so persevering through those low times, what you have on the other side is so much greater than trying to find something different with another person.
Yeah, we can do this.
It's not easy. Yeah, and that's why we're
feeling, when you're feeling discouraged and hopeless, we're here. Focus is here. You've got some friends. I mean, you've got people who will stand by you. You know, I think for that couple, maybe they're dating. Maybe they've moved into that engagement. Maybe this feels like a whirlwind and it's hasty. You know, it's okay. Just step back. I think there's some important things that need to be part of a good, solid engagement time. Number one, I think that it'd be such a great discussion. Talk about with this person that you're in relationship with. What's God's design for our relationship, for marriage? I don't think we often talk about that because it's not about happiness. I mean, God wants joy. I mean, we often talk happiness. Actually, He wants to use our marriage, as He does everything else in life, to help shape us into His Son's image. And I think that's ultimately the true purpose, to become more like Christ. And God's going to use my marriage to help me do that. That's a great discussion. I think that as we're pursuing a godly choice, we're making sure that we're not entering into this relationship or this engagement, this marriage, for the wrong reasons. And so we mentioned a couple. But I think it's good to have a mentor to where you can be honest and hey, challenge me. Why am I in this thing? The more we can really talk that through and just want to be, you know, you talked about earlier, that awareness. I think we want to use that engagement time to also to continue to deal with our junk. And you mentioned Boundless. So boundless.org, they do such a great job of encouraging. What does that mean? How do I do that? But we visit that website. There's podcasts. There's articles you can get. What does that mean? But we all are going to bring in baggage. We're going to bring in junk. You know, but if you can begin to really be aware and deal with some of that stuff before you're married, that only helps that transition year. I love to encourage those couples to what's that list? What are those qualities that you're really looking for to make sure that person, you know, it feels that, you know, some of those things. What are the key things? Make sure you need to have that good time together, getting to know each other, observing how they're handling conflict and their parents and all these things. And I think as we do those, That's how we met. Get that premarital counseling. You'll maximize that time.
Great word, Greg. Hope you're encouraged today and even equipped. We're so glad you tuned in. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Join us next time. We're going to talk about the trouble we can get into when our mouths start moving before our brains start thinking. Did you hear that, Greg? When our mouths start moving before our brains start thinking.
Wasn't listening.
Yeah, exactly. That's next time. And don't forget our email, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We're so honored to do this journey with you. Hope you found some encouragement here today. We'll meet you back here next time.